God, why did you choose me? And why did you choose me to go here? And why did you choose me to go there? And why did you choose me for this? Why did you choose me for that? Or why did you choose me for the otherwise? And yet, just looking at my life and just kind of reflecting back, you know, I was born for such a time as this. But I'm nothing special. I'm nothing unique. I put on my pants the same way as everyone else does. You know, one leg at a time. And if I'm feeling adventurous, I'll jump into both and trip and fall. Yeah. But praise God, because it's not a me, it's a we. We were born for such a time as this. And we all have a purpose. We all have a, you know, when we submit ourselves to being a part of God's plan, then with that, we see the hand of God move. And I tell you, crazy things have happened. I've seen some really crazy things happen. And praise God, because I can't say, hey, look how cool I am, because guess what? I'm not that cool. Or look how good I am, because I'm not that good. You know, and there's some weeks where, you know, like my wife will tell me or somebody else will tell me, wow, that was such a great message. It was? What did I say? You know? And it wasn't me who was talking. It was the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit that was speaking. So my prayer is that you get touched by the hand of God today. And I'm just the pipe. Just saying, Lord, just fill me. Just be, you know, I'll be the conduit. Just use me, because I want to see my brothers and sisters blessed by your word. And that's what it's all about. Amen? Amen. So we're going to talk today about Romans chapter 3. And, you know, as Brother Bill was sharing, sometimes it's like, oh, wow, there's a lot of stuff here. And sometimes it's like, oh, what am I going to talk about this week? And we find that as we just go through things methodically, sometimes we have those things where we think in our mindset, oh goodness, there's not a lot here. But then as we start praying over things, the Holy Spirit really starts to reveal a lot of things. And with that, in the revelation of the things of God, people get blessed. Amen? Amen. And so that is my prayer this morning. So I kind of want to break down Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And first thing that we see here is this thing about circumcision. And circumcision, as we know, is what we talked about last week. It's more than just a physical thing. It is a heart issue where we got to cut away the junk of the flesh. And really, God says, hey, that stuff needs to be cut away. What do? We allow Him, the great physician, right, to cut the junk out of our lives. But it starts with us. God, I need surgery. God, I need these things to go away. And we talked and we compared and contrasted the fruits of the Spirit with the deeds of the flesh from Galatians chapter 5. And we equated those to the fruit of uncircumcision, or the deeds of uncircumcision, versus the fruit of circumcision. And when we have a circumcised heart, there's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's all those things that are there. And so I'd encourage you, we have the message up on the website this week finally. Yeah, okay, because Carol was out of town and sometimes those things get delayed. But I would encourage you to listen to that, because that springboards into what we're talking about today. Which, you know, the first thing here that we see here is that we're not supposed to look down upon people if they're physically circumcised or if they're not physically circumcised. That's not what it's about. And, you know, Paul's talked about this stuff. He says, don't, you know, it doesn't matter about the physical circumcision. It matters about the heart thing. But there is an advantage to being a Jew. And the advantage is this, is that, the advantage is that we are entrusted with the Word of God. Now remember, we talked about a couple weeks back, who is a Jew? Well, as far as God's concerned, Abraham's real descendants are those who believe that Yeshua, that Jesus is God. Those who are praisers of God, God considers them the Jews, right? And so with that, regardless of your physical background, we have been entrusted with the Word of God. And so that's the first advantage. And and remember, when we think about Jews as a people, God didn't choose the Jewish people because they were the biggest and strongest. God didn't choose them because they were the, you know, Jews are so easy to get along with. Because what does the Scripture say? Deuteronomy 7:7 says, Hashem did not set His love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any of the peoples. For you were the fewest of people. When you look at the population of Jews today, They're less than 0.1% of the world's population. Very, very small number. And of course, God didn't choose us because, you know, Jews are totally submissive and totally willing to do the things of God, right? Exodus 32:9 says, Hashem said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now, does that give us, those of us Jewish by blood, does that give us a, you know, hey, we can be obstinate. Yeah, Diane Sitter Pattonville. But you know what? We ask, why did God choose the Jews to carry His Torah? And Psalm 147 says, He declares His words to Jacob, His statutes and His ordinance to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation, and as for His ordinance, they have not known them. Praise Hashem. So the point here is, having the Word of God is no cause for Jewish pride to come out and say, hey, we've got the Torah, you don't. Hey, we're so special. No, that's not what it is. But really, having the Word of God does have its advantage to all people. Not only in this life, but in the next, right? Because we have His love letter that is for all creation. You know, that's why God's Word doesn't tell us, you know, go out and teach the gospel to the Jews. But He says to all the nations, right? To everybody. The Word of God is for everybody, and that advantage can be for everyone. And so, from there, we talk about that advantage of carrying the Word of God. We springboard into that we're not supposed to judge the faithfulness of God by others. And how many times have we seen, and I've talked to people, hey, well, you know what? If that person is a representative of God, I don't want any of that. And you know, I remember in my youth, we had these televangelists. They were making all this money. And yet, you know, they were claiming to be representative of God, but at the same time, they were living a lifestyle that wasn't the lifestyle that the Scripture says that they should live. And how many people got wounded by that? How many people says, wait, it's because of hypocrisy? I don't want to join in the hypocrisy. And then turn them off to the things of God. Because God says, hey, you know what? Yes, these people are unfaithfulness. They live in unfaithfulness. Don't judge their faithfulness or my faithfulness by people's behavior. Judge it by me. Because He is perfect, right? He is perfect in all things. And you know what? He has to be, in order for God to be God, He has to be perfect in everything, including the truth. And we heard this verse already once today. Yeshua said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, and Bill and I have a giggle moment because we don't discuss what either one of us are talking about. I just hand him the Scripture. He knows what I'm reading. I know what he's reading, or anybody else who comes up here and does the reading. Hey, just let the Holy Spirit speak. And we get that confirmation that God is perfect in everything, including the truth. And of course, there's that trap. Many times people falsely represent God and lead others astray because they do not represent God in truth. And of course, remember, we are not to judge God by how others act. Well, God must be this way because that person, they claim to be a believer. They put a label, they put a t-shirt on, they put a bumper sticker on. You know, I think of that bumper sticker that says, believers aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. And because of that, people think they have a license to do whatever they want. I don't think so. That's a misrepresentation of God. I truly believe that. And of course, you know, and the Apostle Paul, he even reminds us that even those who have done something wrong, when they return, when they have teshuvah to God, this shows the righteousness of God. And many times people are like, oh, well, you know what, I can't ask that guy for forgiveness. You know, that's going to make things, well, hey, does the person know you're a believer? Well, yeah, you better ask the guy for forgiveness because guess what? Many times God can use you asking somebody for forgiveness for them to actually see the love of God. And God can turn this unrighteous moment into something that is righteous and is good. And I think of what, you know, once again, Genesis 50, what was intended for evil, God can use for good to save many people alive. You know, how many of us have made a mistake? Well, let's start with the rabbi. Okay, let me count. Oh, I don't have enough fingers and toes to count all the ways. Yeah. But you know what? The things that I've learned from the mistakes is that God loves me. And if God can forgive me for all my stuck on stupidness, if I can use the term, then God can forgive anybody else. Amen? Yeah. There's only one sin that keeps us out of the kingdom of heaven, and that's saying no. When Yeshua knocks on your heart's door and says, come in. When we blaspheme the Ruach HaKodesh and say, no, we don't want to receive Yeshua. That's the only sin that can keep us from God. And isn't that nice to know? That that's how much God loves us? The only thing that keeps us. It's not all that stuff we've done in the past. God can use it. God can use it, but we have to be willing to admit when we were wrong and let people know, hey, I made a mistake. I blew it. Please forgive me. And you'd be surprised at the release that takes place when that happens. Now, of course, we have a cross-reference to this. This little portion here, it says, you are right when you speak and win your case when you go into court. And that's cross-referenced. Really, that's a quote from Psalms 51, verse 4. But you know me, a very rabbinical mindset in the sense that when we quote a piece of Scripture, it means we need to look at the entire passage, right? And glean from it the points from that passage. And so, starting with verse 1, it says, be gracious to me, O God, according to your grace. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgression. Isn't that nice to know? Because of the compassion of God, all that bad junk, boom, blot it out. It's gone. It's gone, yeah. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. When we acknowledge that we've made mistakes, basically God says, you know, because God knows we make some mistakes, right? It's not like we're, oh, I've got a mistake, I've got to tell it to God. Well, I don't want you because then He's going to know I made a mistake. Well, you know what? God already knows you made the mistake. He just wants us to acknowledge it, right? But it says, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. The psalmist here is saying, hey, God, you know what's there. You know what I've done. You've known my mistakes. But I love how this verse goes on. I mean, it talks about that passage of Scripture where, you know, create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me, right? Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. When David wrote this psalm, he was acknowledging that, one, he had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. Right? And he arranged for Bathsheba's husband to be killed on the front lines in battle. Yeah. So he arranged for somebody to get killed. And he had an affair. Got caught because she was pregnant. And yet when he realized, oops, wow. And it's not like, oh, I've made a mistake. Please forgive me. Thank you. But he realized the weight of the, you know, what had taken place. And wow, the sin's before me. Wow, I've really messed up. How many of you guys have really messed up? Boy, Bill and I are both raising hands and feet again. Yeah, we've messed up. But you know what? When you get to the end of this song, and you realize that regardless of the mistakes, there's a chance that when we turn to God, even though we've made a mistake, once we have received God's forgiveness through Yeshua Jesus, we can be used for the kingdom of God and we can serve in His kingdom. Because this psalm concludes in verse 18, it says, by your favor do good to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem, then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offering and whole burnt offerings. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar. So once we get things squared away with God, and we say, hey, we've made a mistake, please forgive me that what I did was wrong, and we get things squared away with others, then God chooses to use us, regardless of where we're coming from. And that's the beauty. I mean, I think of Romans 8:1, and that verse really hit me this year. It's that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you have a relationship with God, God's not going to condemn you if you got things taken care of. If you have things squared away, you know what? We receive God's forgiveness, and He wants each and every one of us to step up and to do something. You know, I think this teacher I heard one time, it's like, oh, you know what? We're in a battle here. We're really in a spiritual battle. And he goes, and some of you aren't on the front lines firing. That's okay. You know, we need some to carry bullets. We need some to cook an egg. We need some to encourage. And, you know, I think of our military today, I think it's a 1 to 10 ratio. I don't know where David went, but I think it's a 10 to 1 ratio. For most of the guys on the front line, he's got support staff of that many behind him. For one guy in an airplane flying in the Air Force, I think there's 16 to 20 people in support of that one guy up in the air. So think about that. You might not say, well, hey, you know what? I'm not equipped to be a frontline person. But guess what? You can put your hand on the back of the person who is and say, keep going, brother. I got you in prayer. Keep going, sister. I'm here with you. Keep going. I'm going to pray for you. Because that's what being part of the body is about, right? And let's not worry about that condemnation stuff. Yeah, we've all made mistakes. That's why Jesus died. And guess what? Once it's dealt with, once it's over with, once it's confessed, once it's gone, does He bring it up? No, He says, as far as the east is from the west. And you know, my brain, the way it's designed, I sit there and I think of a globe and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go east. When do I ever come to west? Now, you don't. You might come to places that people consider, oh, well, hey, you know, you start off in the far east and you end up in the west, but then you keep going west and you'll end up back up in the far east again. What? No, you're going to keep going and keep going and keep going. You notice He didn't say as far as the north is from the south? Isn't that nice to know? Because you can only go so far north until you start heading south again. And you can only go so far south until you start heading north again. But as far as the east is from the west, that junk is gone. No matter what it is, if you've confessed it, it is gone. And there is no condemnation. So we need to remember that. Amen? It's important to remember that. And of course, in remembering that, the Apostle Paul continues that we shouldn't take for granted the faithfulness of God. And of course, there are advantages of living righteous. You know, continuing, I'm just going to read here from Romans 3. It says, for through my falsehood, God's truthfulness increases to His glory. Why am I still being condemned as a sinner? Or can we say, as some people slander us by claiming that we say, let us do evil that good may result? Their condemnation is deserved. So basically, what the Apostle Paul is saying here is that those who say that since they are saved, they can do whatever they want, that philosophy is not of God. That is wrong. Believers aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. I can do whatever I want. That is completely, completely wrong. God is not going to be mocked, and everyone will be judged for their behavior, no matter if it's good or if it's evil. Matthew 12:35 says, a good person brings good things out of a good treasure, and an evil person brings evil things out of an evil treasure. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every thoughtless word that they utter. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Oy vey. Yeah, we're going to be judged for whatever comes out of our mouth. But I thought sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. No, we are going to be judged by what we say. And you know what? God's word says that there's power of life and death in the tongue. The book of Proverbs chapter 18 talks about that. We can speak life over things, or we can speak death over things. And I know in the world of philosophy and psychology, there's something called the self-fulfilling prophecy. Many times when people speak it, that is what happens. Because they tell themselves over and over and over again, this is going to be it. Yeah, Dad's like, oh gosh. No. Yeah, we know people like that. That they're always just speaking things. It's just like, no wonder things bad happen to you because you're speaking death all the time about yourself. But Rabbi, I need to be honest with myself. But you know what? We can be honest. Yeah, I'm going through a rough time. Yeah, I'm going through a hard time. Yeah, this is horrible. But guess what? There's life here because Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And when we depend upon Him, and when we just say, hey, God, I can't deal with this. It's yours. Then boom, He takes over us, and there is life there. So we don't have to receive the death that the adversary has for us. Because remember, he says, you know, the adversary, he wants to kill, he wants to steal, he wants to destroy. And let's not fall into his trap. Let's speak life. Yeah. There's no condemnation. Let's speak life. Yeah. Romans 2 says, they show that what the Torah requires is written in their hearts, a fact to which their own consequences testify. And their thoughts will either accuse or excuse them on that day when God, through Yeshua HaMashiach, will judge people's secrets. Yeah, we're going to be judged by the thoughts that we entertain. And you know, it's like, well, Rabbi, you know, that's kind of not fair. Well, let's think about that for a moment. Because we all have things that are temptations that are placed before us, right? We're not judged by temptation. But if we decide to continue to dwell upon that temptation, hey, look at that temptation over there. Oh, wow, she's a nice temptation. I'm just going to keep on dwelling upon that. Oh, Rabbi Lewis, check out that temptation. He's like, what? Yeah, don't look. But what are we supposed to do? Oh, well, oh, no, no, I shouldn't. We see that in Orthodoxy, don't we? If there's a woman who is dressed according to Orthodox standards as immodest, what do? They put their hand up to block that, and they put their other hand up here to block their eyes. Because we're blocking the immodesty, and I'm not going to look at it. And you know what? But what a great... Yeah. Notice I got a pastor and a rabbi in one shot. But you know, if we think about that though, that's what the scripture's talking about. You know, we got to hold every thought captive. Hey, there's this thing that I shouldn't be looking at. There's this thing that I shouldn't be doing. You know, if you've got a problem with alcohol, don't drive by the bar every day. Right? If you got a problem with, you know, girls, don't drive down where all the prostitutes hang out, right? If you got a problem with bank or with money, don't spend all your time on Wall Street. Turn off the business channel. It's okay. Whatever your problem is, let's not dwell on, hey, I've got a problem with this. Let's just say, hey, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I am no longer held in bondage by that stuff. I'm going to focus on Yeshua. I'm going to focus on Jesus. And guess what? He's going to deliver me from that stuff. But what if I fall in? Guess what? If you fall back into the trap, praise God, His hand is there saying, come on, let's go back out, because He loves you that much. What does the Scripture say? Remember when the apostle said, hey, how many times should we forgive someone? 7 times? And he said, what? 7 times 70. Some people go, well, I've only sinned 489 times, so I've got one left to go, so I'm good. No, but really what God's saying is He just loves us so much that even if we make a mistake, He's willing to reach His hand down and try to help us out of that mistake, right? Because His Word says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful, He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there's going to be temptations there. I know recently I was talking with somebody who is like, well, you know, Rabbi, I really like getting high. There's nothing like it. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, been there, done that. You're a rabbi, no? Before I was a rabbi, I was a dirtbag. I was. And I did a lot of dirtbag stuff. And I said, hey, you know what? You're right. And I remember one of my struggles that I had is just like, oh, Lord, you know, there's nothing like this feeling of being high. Help me with that. Help me with that. And God says, well, guess what? When you walk according to the statutes, according to the Torah, according to my word, and show that you're going to be faithful, then I'm going to use you. And when you see my hand move, that high is going to be anything better than you've ever smoked or snorted. Yeah. And I'm like, well, okay. Well, I'm going to remain faithful. I'm going to see what God, you know, I'm going to take you at your word, God. And you know, what was the first thing that happened? I decided to get away from it all and go for a hike in the middle of nowhere. And here I am, and Rabbi Lewis knows I like to go hiking and just get away from it all. And here I'm out on a trail, and what do I find but a pristine joint. Never been smoked, big, fat, full of marijuana, just sitting there, miles away from civilization. Looking down at that going, did somebody say manna? Oy vey. I think I need to back up. By your words, you will be... Praise God. Because the adversary was there, and I'm like, oh, wait, I could smoke this, and by the time I get back to where I'm going, nobody would even know. Wait a second. God would know. Stomp that sucker out. And I didn't look back. And ever since then, I tell you this, that the things of God, has it been easy? No, it's not as easy as rolling a joint and sparking it up or you know, grabbing a fifth of whatever. As long as it had a spark arrestor, it was good enough for me to forget the problem. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to focus on the things of God. And I tell you this, there's no better feeling for me now in this world than a couple of things. One is seeing somebody for the first time saying, I want Yeshua Jesus into my heart. And the second, it's very similar. When somebody from synagogue comes up and says, Rabbi, I led someone to the Lord today. Yeah, because I know I can't do it all. There's places that Bill goes that I cannot go. Like his work. If I showed up in his office, why is this rabbi hanging around here? What's going on? Security? Yeah, and you know, and Bill works in the trade and he works with his hands and boy is that, he's strong, man. Praise God. And the guys see that and they respect that. And so with that, he has a chance to minister to people that I have never have a chance to get there. But you know what? There's people that I could minister to because of my lifestyle. I think of some of the people that it's like, oh, hey, you don't understand, Rabbi. I like the high. I like the drinking. You know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Well, you know what? Been there, done that. It always leaves you flat. Really? You've been there? Yep. My wife has my mullet picture to prove it. Yeah, but you know what? I want to help you through that because God got me through it and I want to see you delivered as well. It's not an easy road, but it's the right road and it's the most rewarding road. Amen? Yeah, and I'm not going to say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to entertain those thoughts anymore. See the big fat joint on the ground? Boom, stomp it down. I'm having a rough day. In fact, I was walking last night and... the other night to the mailbox. And, you know, new house, and so it was quite a journey, and just kind of looking around, looking at other people's houses, and I noticed there's just one house, and all their downstairs is this huge wet bar. And, of course, was the adversary trying to say, hey, you know what? If you need a drink, you can probably hook up with these people. They'll set you up. I don't need to drink like that anymore. You know, I don't need to forget my problems because I've given my problems to Jesus, and He's taken care of them. And I'm not going to entertain those thoughts. Boom. Gone. See ya. And praise God, He carries us through, right? And I know that other people here struggle with the same thing. Other people here struggle with different things. No matter what the struggle is, we can give it to God. Let's not hold those thoughts. You know, let's hold those thoughts captive. Let's not just put them out there. The next thing I want to talk about, of course, is just the judgment. And this is from 1 Corinthians 3. It says, after all, no one can lay any other foundation than the one that is already laid, and that is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Whether a person builds on the foundation of gold, silver, expensive stones, wood, hay, or straw, the workmanship of each person will become evident, for the day will show what it is, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what a person has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If his work is burned up, he will suffer loss. However, he himself will be saved, but it will be like going through the fire. It's interesting. We are going to be judged by the foundation upon which we behave as a believer. If we, have that foundation of the good things, the mitzvot, the good deeds that God wants us to do, those are things that God equates to gold, silver, and expensive stones. You know what? And sometimes the good things that God wants us to do are as simple as, hey, I just need to say something to this guy over here. And many times when God is doing the work, he just needs us to just show up. He just show up. Why? I don't know what's going on, but God's here. Okay. Right? We see where God is working and we join him. That's what he wants. Yeah. But we have the other things in our life that are based upon rebellion and sin and selfish pride. Those are like wood, hay, and straw. And those are the things that as a believer, you shouldn't do. God wants us to live righteous lives, right? And he says, for the believer that does the things that he's not supposed to do when he is judged, it will seem like hell. And if you think about it, really, Rabbi, is that what it says? Yeah. However, he himself will be saved, but it will be like going through fire. It's pretty intense if you think about it. So I'd encourage you, some people, hey, I said the prayer, I got my fire insurance. Well, guess what? It's more than that. You can't just live like we want to live. Because even though, yes, God will save you, it's going to be like going through hell. Because you see all this stuff happening. So, how are we supposed to live? 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 17 says, therefore, prepare your minds for action, keep a clear head, and set your hope completely on the grace to be given you when Yeshua the Messiah is revealed. As obedient children, do not be shaped by the desires that you once had in your ignorance. Instead, just as the one who called you is holy, be holy in every aspect of your life. For it is written, you must be holy because I am holy. If you call Father the one who judges everyone impartially according to what he has done, you must live in the fear of the Lord as long as you are strangers here. There's a lot of preach in this one. But just seven brief points that come out of the scripture. One, we need to be prepared mentally for action. God's word says to be ready in season and out of season. We've got to be ready for battle. That's why, the Apostle Paul writes words like, daily work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that doesn't mean, you can lose your salvation. But what it means is, hey, God saved me. I need to remember that first and foremost, because if God saved me, that means that he loves me. And if God loves me, that means he loves other people as well. We've got that mental mindset. That's why we put on the armor of God. There are times when I pray, it's just like, okay, Lord, it's the morning. I better get that anointing oil because who knows what's going on. I better put on that belt of truth, that breastplate of righteousness. Put on my gospel shoes, right? Seal of faith, helmet of salvation, the word of God. Pray in the Spirit, because guess what? We're out there doing battle. We need to be prepared for these things. And we need to keep a clear head. When somebody asked me one time, hey, Rabbi, is it okay if a believer drinks? I don't have a problem with a person drinking. But you struggle with that. Yeah, that was a long time ago. I struggle with it, yeah. But you know what? How much you drank should really be in relationship to where's that tipsy line with you. If you're just having a glass of wine with dinner, I know there's some people like, I like to have a glass of wine with dinner. You know what? Glass of wine with dinner, glass of wine with dinner. But it's, the second glass and the third glass and the fourth glass, and that's before the appetizers are even served. You're not going to have a clear head. Your head's going to start wobbling around. You're not going to be thinking with your spiritual eyes, right? Yeah, you're going to be looking and going, I'm feeling a little buzzed now. This is kind of cool. And someone's like, and you're so buzzed you don't even see the opportunity walk by that you could share. Because you're more worried about taking the sip than you are about looking at what's going on. Yeah. And so we need to keep a clear head. And we shouldn't allow these internal issues or thoughts or external things confuse us or cause our judgment to be clouded. That's why one of the fruits of the Spirit is what? Self-control. We're going to say, you know, say no to the junk, say yes to Yeshua. So, if, you know, you're those one of those people that can't stop, it's like me and sugar. Once my wife, like, makes a dessert, I can't stop. I'm like, oh, Crystal, you can't do that anymore. She's like, oh, I love your sweets. They taste so good. Don't do it. It's like, okay, because I'll just eat. Barb and I are birds of a feather in that aspect. That's a tough one. And you know what? But sometimes that sugar and that chocolate, oh, it's so good. But it clouds our judgment because all we're doing is focusing on the chocolate, right? And we should be focusing upon the things of the Lord. Yeah, it does. And of course, the third thing that we see here is that we need to set our hope completely on God's grace, nothing else. A lot of people think that, hey, well, if I do all this good stuff, I'm working my way in. No, it's always been about the grace of God. Even in the Old Testament, yep, even in the Old Testament, Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness, and it was by God's grace. You might see loving kindness in your scripture or mercy. Many times that's a mistranslation. It's from the Hebrew word chesed, which means grace. It's always been about God's grace, right? So we need to rely upon God's grace and set our hope completely on that and nothing else. The fourth thing, be obedient to the Word of God. God says it, let's do it, right? And if God says, you know, what thou shalt, we shalt, and what thou shalt not, let's shalt not, right? We need to be holy. And that word, you know, holy, kadosh, set apart. We need to be set apart from the things of the world and remain clean for the service of God. Because we've got the Ten Commandments, those are the things about righteousness. We've got the 603 commandments, which are the things for holiness. And that word havdalah means distinction, right? We are distinct. We need to set ourselves, hey, you know what? Yeah, the world's into that. I'm just not going to go down that path. I need to be set apart for God. The sixth thing is we need to live with the utmost respect for God and His name. We need to fear God. And a lot of people, oh yeah, Jesus, I got His name on my shirt, I got His name on my hat, I got His name on my car. See, I'm a super believer. I got Jesus everywhere. But yet, you know, you talk to some. In fact, I remember one time I was working at a house of worship and ran into somebody who worked with somebody who I knew from this house of worship, worked at the same place. And I go, oh, hey, do you know so-and-so? Oh, yeah, I know that guy. How do you know him? Well, we worship God together. Really? That guy's a believer? Well, he says he is. He comes to service every week. He's involved. You let people like that? What do you mean? Because that's not how he acts. No, I never would even guess this guy. Well, why is that? We should see how he behaves at work. You should see the words that he uses at work. He says Jesus all the time, and it's not in a good way. Wow. Wow. Didn't have respect for the name of God. Because there, you know, it's like that song, it was that Gaither song, there's just something about that name. It's very true. And we need to treat that name with respect and not just throw it around flippantly. Right? And that's part of fearing God. And of course, the seventh thing is that we need to live as a stranger to the world and the things of the world. Let's not allow the mixing of the ordinary and common with the things of God. Once again, we're back to Havdalah again. Once again, we're back to distinction. You know, Sabbath is Sabbath. And let's not mix the two together. Let's not just say, okay, well, yeah, it's Sabbath. I'm going to do whatever I want. Or, well, you know what? I have my synagogue behavior. I walk around all holy, pious, put on my prayer shawl, put on my yarmulke. Oh, look at me. I'm so super Jew. And then go out there, oh, glad that's over. Man, that rabbi, let's get this junk off me. No, we need to live our lives distinctly. Even though that we're part of the world, guess what? Living our lives distinctly is how the world can see the truth of God. Right? What does God's word say about that? Let your light so shine Let your light shine. Of course, people are going to be like, oh, turn that thing off, it's bright. You know, how many of you at camp ever got a flashlight shining your eyes when it was pitch dark? Yeah, Richard's like, oh, it hurts. Or you're in a movie theater and you walk out the back door and you get blinded by the light because you went to the matinee showing and the sun's still up. It hurts. Oh gosh, next time, honey, let's walk through the lobby so we can kind of accustom ourselves to this. We need to let our light shine. And in that, people will see us building things of gold, silver, and expensive stones. And they will honor our Father. They will glorify God, right? And that's what it's all about, us doing those good things. So let me ask you this as we conclude this portion of the service. Are there anything out there that you're struggling with? And you know what? I even have to ask myself the own question, because guess what? I'm human. I struggle with some things. We're struggling with these things. And I tell you, not every day am I out there having my brain just on top of things. Sometimes I get up and, especially like with the kids. Oh, the kids are awake. Better go do something. Because I've got kind of my routine that helps me get prepared. I wake up. I see which cat is sitting on the end of the bed. Scratch them on their head. And then after taking care of a few personal things, sit down and read the Word of God. But if there's something I have to respond to, I get out of my groove. Oh man, Baton's awake. I better go take care of that. Dorona's skydiving again. You gotta go hold her down. Yeah. And then I start going through my day, and then I forget. And then all of a sudden, I'm kind of having a crappy day today. What's going on? And I sit down to think about it. Oh, how did my day start? Oh, yeah, that's right. I skipped that ever so important function. For me, I've got to read the Word of God first thing in the morning. I have to. Otherwise, I get my brain, my brain is not prepared. Now, I'm not saying that everyone, if you don't, if the first thing you do is pet the cat and take care of your personal business and read the Word of God, that you're a sinner. My wife doesn't operate that way. She pets the cat, takes care of her personal things, she makes the coffee. Yeah. And then by that time, she's a little bit more awake. And then, after about an hour, when she can focus on the Word of God, that's what she does. So it's not necessarily about the function of how you're doing it, but if you are doing it. And so I don't want you guys to get that confused. But if you're struggling with any of these things, your brain's not being mentally prepared for action, or you don't have a clear head, or you're trying to work your way, hey, what can I do for God today? What can I do for God? I've got to earn my salvation. No, it doesn't work that way. Or, hey, I'm reading the Word, but I'm not doing the Word. God's Word, Bill hit it this morning. There's a difference between listening and hearing. When God's Word says, be doers of the Word, that means that when we hear the Word, Shema, we're going to listen to the Word with the intent to do exactly what it says. Or we have a problem setting ourselves apart from the world, but you know what? I don't want to be considered uncool. Now that was this morning's Veggie Tale. Larry didn't want to be uncool because everybody else was being cool and people were making fun of him because he was praying over his meals and he was struggling with what other people thought. And you know what? Are other people going to judge us for all eternity? No. God's going to judge us for all eternity. Being holy, living with the utmost respect as a representative of God. Or living as a stranger in the world. We don't want to, I got to blend in. No, God doesn't want us to blend in. God wants us to let our light shine. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes.